Hello again and welcome to the program. We're here with a message on the last mile of the way. This series, again, Paul said in Acts 20 that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. And later on he said, I have finished my course. Now, we're looking in the book of Jude, and what's Jude's purpose in writing? You know, we need to get a picture of what went on 2,000 years ago. There was a man, his name was Jude. He sat down and he wrote a letter. I wonder, was it raining? Was it cold? Was it nice, warm day? And why is he writing? He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Now, what was his purpose? A purpose is the reason for which something is done. We would say, Noah, why are you building that boat? Well, there's a reason. God told me to do it, and I'm going to save my family. Now, we get into Jude's little book here, and the purpose that he has here is to expose the apostates and to encourage the remnant. He said, as he closed off this little letter, he said that his purpose here was for God to be able to keep them from falling. That's an interesting word, falling. Falling, not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about falling into the apostasy of the hour. And we're living in an age of apostasy right now. This little book can give us some directions on how to keep us from falling. So he exposes the apostates in the first 16 verses, and in no uncertain terms, he names them. He doesn't beat around the bush here. But he also then encourages the remnant in verses 17 to 25. Now, we use these terms apostate. What does one need to do to become an apostate? Where's the line? And we use the term remnant. What does one need to do to be part of the remnant? I mean, scripturally, what do we need to do? As we look in this little book, those questions will be answered. But once again, before we continue, unless we are sincerely able to pray this prayer, teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Unless we are sincerely willing to be teachable and to let God teach us his will and his way, we're just filling our head with a bunch of head knowledge about the Bible. And so as we continue in this study, let us be very sincere in this prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art. rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
Well, on our previous message, we were looking at this word remnant. Who are the remnant? Well, we said Elijah had to be part of that remnant, but he thought he was the only one. And remember, he said, I'm the only one. Those prophets over there are all hiding in a cave, and a few verses later, we find Elijah hiding in a cave. God said, what doest thou here, Elijah? How about Joseph and Mary? Were they part of the remnant? Absolutely. Well, when you get into Luke chapter 2, into verse 42, you see that they were going down to Jerusalem after the custom. Now, Jesus is now 12 years old, but they just got used to going through the motions. And we read in verse 44 of that chapter, they were supposing him to be in the company. Now, there's a lot of people today who are part of the remnant who are going through the motions, supposing him to be in the company. What about the disciples? Were they part of the remnant? Yeah, I think they must have been part of the remnant. What about Gethsemane when we read they all forsook him for fear? Then there was Philip. He had a lack of discernment, not such a serious problem as some of these others, but a serious problem nevertheless. How is it, Philip, that you do not know me? Jesus said, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? What about Peter? In John chapter 18, we read in verse 5 that Judas stood with them. Yeah, the bad guys. And then in verse 18, we read Peter stood with them, and he's warming his hands at the devil's campfire. Was he part of the remnant? Yeah, he was part of the remnant. How about Thomas? I will not believe, he said. How about Paul and Barnabas? The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Oh, are they part of the remnant? Yeah, they're part of the remnant. By the way, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. And so what we need to learn here is get the idea out of our heads that because we may be part of the remnant, that we have arrived. The warnings here are to the remnant, that you don't fall into this age of apostasy. Also, we looked in verse 2, it says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Love, it's interesting. We said Jude is the only one where in the introduction he used the word love. Paul never did that. He talked about mercy and peace and grace and stuff like that. Jude's included love. Why? Because this is Jude's love letter. Love exposes the filthy dreamers, the way of Cain. It exposes the error of Balaam, the gainsaying of Korah. Look, he's mentioning names here. The spots in your feast, the murmurers, the complainers, those that are walking after their own lusts, those that have big swelling words that are taking advantage of the people, mockers at the end of the age and exposing the sensual who have not the Spirit. What is this? It is love multiplied. Let's not act like we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. You don't love Jesus if you're not doing what he said to do. We are to expose those who are leading our sheep into apostasy. And so the remnant, he says, beware of false prophets. To the remnant, he says, beware of men. Beware of the leaven. Beware of the scribes. Beware of the cup of covetousness. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Beware lest ye also being led away fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. Then he said, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Oh, I think there's a lot of that going on that may be seen of them. Oh, I got to get my peers to see what a big church I'm building here. How about Matthew 18 and 10? Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Oh boy, I'd like to park on every one of these verses and preach a series of messages. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. What about the children in the church? Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed what ye hear. Take heed lest any man deceive you. Take heed to yourselves. He's talking to the remnant. Take heed, therefore, that the light that is in thee be not darkness. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee. Oh, there's one we could work on for a week. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. He's talking to pastors there. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. Now we're talking about a building program here to keep away from the apostasy. Take heed how you build. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Take heed ye be not consumed one of another, remnant. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. By the way, that book is written to the average Christian. We think, you know, the ministry, yeah, that's my pastor, that's that guy over there. No, that's you, individual Christians. We all have a ministry here. God didn't just, you know, if all we got saved for was to go to heaven, why didn't he just take us there 10 seconds after we got saved? We're left here because we have a ministry and we need to take heed, remnant, that we fulfill it. Then he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. No, that's not happening much anymore. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. He's talking to the remnant. Ye do well that ye take heed unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And so he says, remnant, take heed. Again, let us not get the idea in our head, because we're part of the remnant, we've arrived, and those guys over there are the problem. We are the problem. We are the problem. We've said many times before, when we come to the end of the age, as far as the world is concerned, apathy. As far as Christianity is concerned, apostasy. As far as the remnant is concerned, apathy. They've changed the plan of salvation, and I don't care. It doesn't get any worse than that. But now, in the last part of this little book, verse 17 to 25, he focuses on the answer. But, beloved, remnant, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Take heed how you build, Jesus said. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. It was Paul that said that. I said Jesus said it. Well, it's in the Word of God, no matter how you look at it. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So we're going to look at verses 17 to 25. I put them here. We won't take the time to read them right now, but if you could read those about 20 times before our next message, it would be a great idea. Let's be part of the remnant that is not falling for the apostasy. Well, if that's going to be a reality, once again, here's our prayer for today. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer. Boundless and free, Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul.